Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Now, here we go, hour two. Home of the first place Dodgers, Los Angeles. And our weather's nice. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. College football, big weekend starts tonight. Ohio State Buckeyes, many people think the best team in the country. Certainly one of the most talented. Alabama won't be as good offensively this year. They just lost too many good receivers last couple of years. Najee Harris, they won't be as dynamic at running back. I don't think their O-line will be quite as good, although they have a great left tackle. So I think Alabama comes back down to earth. I think the best team in the country, I believe, is Clemson. Then I think it's Ohio State. Then it's Alabama. And then after that, you know, your Oklahomas. You know, we kind of know the usual suspects. By the way, I thought this was interesting. Joy Taylor's joining me. So we like athletic quarterbacks. I mean, the game, the rules have changed.
Of course.
Nobody's saying you want a statue. But it is fascinating to when Mac Jones was drafted, I was the guy out there saying, you know, the play's got to be kind of designed for him. He's not going to move. I've said the same thing about Tua. I feel the ceiling's lower. But if you go to the last five Super Bowls, here have been the quarterbacks in the game. Some of the least athletic in the league. Brady twice, Nick Foles. Oh, it's Brady again, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Those are pocket guys. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is athletic, but he averages 17 and a half yards rushing a game. He's a pocket guy. He can move, but he's a pocket guy. The quarterback position is a distribution position. First, I love Lamar Jackson. I defend him on every show. Russell Wilson's one of my faves. But I do think with Russell, when you're 5'11 and a half, the run thing's really valuable. Kyler Murray, he needs to be able to run. Fran Tarkenton was smaller. He needed to run. Russell Wilson needs to be able to run. It's not good to be shorter and a pocket guy. It helps to be 6'3", 6'4". You can peer over your 6'7" offensive line. So I'm not anti-athleticism. But we've gone so far now, we're forgetting the quarterback is a distribution position. First, 75% of it's that, maybe 80%. It's like point guard. Everybody loves point guards who score. One great scoring point guard ever has won championships repeatedly, Steph Curry. He is the outlier. That's it. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Stevie Francis, Marbury, Iverson, all the great scoring point guards. Damon Stoudemire, and no titles. Steph Curry is the outlier. So everybody thinks, oh, that's what... You don't want your point guards. You want your point guard distributing first. Steph Curry happens to be the best shooter in the history of the sport. Okay, he's an outlier. And I do think Russell Wilson is the best scrambling quarterback I've ever seen in my life. He never gets hit. 9 years, he never gets hit. That's unheard of. So like Russell, like Steph Curry, you're talking about an otherworldly, unique, all-time. I mean, Lamar Jackson can run. He gets lit up. Michael Vick could run. He get lit up. Kyler could get. Nobody hits Russell Wilson. Like ever. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense. And so there are these guys like a Steph or Russell Wilson where we think you can duplicate that. You can't. You just can't duplicate that. So, and Josh McDaniels talked about yesterday, Mac Jones starting. Ultimately, he's a 99% nine pocket guy, but they like what they see.
He really works hard. He puts a lot of time into it. He's been well prepared each day to come in and do the things that we ask our guys to do. He's learned how to operate what we've asked him to operate so far, you know, fairly well. He's generally taking care of the football, and he's given the other 10 guys on the field an opportunity to do their job effectively and produce positive plays.
So I'm excited for it. And it's not that we don't like athletic quarterbacks, kids that can move, but this point guards and quarterbacks are generally get the ball to my great athletes on the perimeter. That's audible in and out of trouble, into good plays, out of trouble. That's what the position is, and Mac Jones can do that, I think, at a very high level. How high? I don't know. I don't trust the preseason. With that, Bob Stoops is the newest member of the Big Noon Kickoff. They debuted tonight. I think this is a very interesting game. I think Ohio State's as good as anybody in the country, but they got a new quarterback, And don't kid yourself, Minnesota's got a great staff. Their defense was a mess last year. I think it'll be better. They return important people. And Bob Stoops is now joining us live. You know what's funny, Bob? These Thursday night games are the worst for favorite teams. You go on the road, I look at Ohio State, and if I was a coach and I saw a Thursday night game against like Minnesota, I'd be like, I don't want any part of that. They always feel like trap games. And what do you expect tonight? And I think it's going to be a close football game for a long time. Your thoughts?
I think you're right, primarily because of both defenses have been suspect. At least they were a year ago. Minnesota's been really poor defending the run. I think they're, I don't know, somewhere maybe 102nd in the country, giving up about 210 yards a game rushing a year ago. And they've got 10 of those starters back from a year ago. Sometimes that's not great to have some starters back. But on the other side of the coin, Ohio State's been really poor defending the pass, one of the worst in the country. So if Minnesota can throw the ball and make some big plays throwing, they'll keep it close. But I do think Ohio State, with their strength overall, Minnesota's going to have a hard time stopping them, especially in the run game.
Yep, I agree with
and,
it. Yeah.
And they have those big play receivers also.
Yeah. So I like the Buckeyes tonight, but I these Thursday night games, if you can go back to Pete Carroll losing to Oregon State and Corvallis, Thursday night games is where good teams go to die. It's just rough. Jim Harbaugh, I like him. I root for him. And I've been shocked by his inability to find the right quarterback. It's interesting. I grew up, Oklahoma ran the football. Well, now Oklahoma, they have a great quarterback every year. All Oklahoma does is put out great quarterbacks. Michigan, I grew up, they got Kerry Collins. They got Tom Brady. They got Chad Henne. Now they can't figure the quarterback position out. How do you explain Harbaugh, a former quarterback, Bob, an inability to get that position right at Michigan?
You know, it's a great question because I do believe Jim is an excellent football coach. Everybody knows that. And I do believe their biggest, that's been their problem, is having that right guy under center or behind the center in the quarterback position. But I believe in Coach Harbaugh and Jim doing things the right way all the time. And listen, be careful what you wish for. There have been a whole bunch of teams win 8-9 games and they fire the coach, and then what do you have after that? Sometimes it isn't as easy as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Oklahoma's a great example of that, is that one of the reasons you stepped aside was your love for Oklahoma. You'd been very successful, and you knew under you had the guy. You were leaving it in very good hands. And it's interesting. You've taken Baker Mayfield, who left a program, Kyler Murray. Now you have Spencer Rattler, and this guy's a five-star. Everybody wants him. Oklahoma gets him. Probably be the number one pick. If I'd never seen him play, because I think you're going to be a playoff team this year, mostly because, once again, nobody will be able to stop Oklahoma. If I'd never seen Spencer Rattler play, what does he play like? What should fans look for?
A special arm. He got a great quick release, very accurate. He's got the athleticism, as you see him right there, to move in the pocket, keep himself alive. And he did all this a year ago, I believe it was 34 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Yep. As a redshirt freshman, having never started before and without spring ball. Another full year with Lincoln Riley, more experience all around him at receiver. And running back, all of it together, he's going to have a big year. He's just getting started.
So Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. So we're going to see full-time starters now, a little new stuff. In your history, how long does that take? Even if you have the weapons, you got new. That's why I like Oklahoma this year. They know their quarterback. That makes things much easier in the game of football when you know who's back there. Are you a little concerned for a Clemson, Bama, Ohio State just because, you know, you're sharing snaps? You're not, the players don't really know their tendencies.
I believe there's cause for some concern, but you can bet, you know, just like Oklahoma has replaced starters before, these coaches do an exceptional job. And I believe all of them have really quality skill players there at the quarterback positions that'll be ready to play. I really do. They're all highly recruited quarterbacks, and they've got great coaching staffs working with them.
So, you know, Bob, it's interesting. I think Oklahoma is going to do fine in the SEC. I don't love what's happening to college football, I'll be honest. I love the Rose Bowl, Big Ten against Pac-12, and I like the SEC. I like all the – it's fun. I like every conference having more power. I don't like one conference lopsided, feeling like they have too much power. I don't know how Texas will do. I'm going to keep my eyes on Sark. I like him, but I don't know. But I think Oklahoma will be fine. The landscape of college football now, it's a land grab. You know, and Oklahoma and Texas are wildly appealing to anybody. I always feel like the sport needs a czar. They need a centralized voice. What do you make about just what's happening now and the Big Ten and the ACC and the Pac-12 are conjoining? I don't know what to make of it. I don't know where it ends or how it lands. Do you?
I don't know. I don't. No one does. We're in uncharted territory. We're going to find out how this name, image, and likeness goes. We're going to find out, you know, more about the transfer portal, which we're finding now sometimes isn't such a great idea that everyone thought it was before. Now with, you know, conferences realigning, there's a lot going on. And whether, you know, you like it or not, doesn't really matter. I'm a traditionalist as well, but very few things in life stay the same. And, you know, for the last umpteen years, you know, the Big 12's been last in line for TV contracts. And, you know, Oklahoma and Texas finally just realized, look, we've got to make this move to protect our brand moving forward for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I completely get it. Okay, by the way, I saw this. Wisconsin and Penn State open, and I thought to myself, if I was a coach, I don't get warm-up games. I got to start with if I'm Penn State, I got to start with the Badgers. As a coach, I mean, if you played Texas, Oklahoma in week one, that is a handful. What do you expect Wisconsin, Penn State? It's so rare we get this, Bob. You never get conference powers week one. What do you expect in that game?
It's going to be a great game. You're right. Hats off to both of them coming right out of the opener, coming into such a big game. I'm anxious to see Penn State with their air raid offense. They got a new coordinator, Mike Yurcich, and an air raid offense doesn't seem to fit Penn State,
right,
when you think traditionally. And then I'm also anxious to see the Wisconsin defense against it. Wisconsin, with their coordinator, Jim Leonard, always play great, great defense. And they're expecting this to be one of their better defenses.
Yep.
So that's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be a great game.
Fox Sports, new college football analyst. Been a friend of the show for a long time. I'm a huge fan. Bob, it's great seeing you again.
Always good to be with you, Colin. Thank you.
All right, Bob Stoops. You don't get that. In college football, the way the schedule works, you don't get Wisconsin, Penn State to open. You don't get Alabama, Georgia open. You don't get USC, Oregon to open. That's not the way the sport works. You have a couple of cupcakes. You know, you drive by a tire center. You guys want to play football? Oklahoma opens, wins 70-3. To have those teams open is fantastic. So it headlines a really, really good weekend. Yeah, you know, we live in Los Angeles. This is UCLA's best team, and USC has to win or Clay Helton's gone. So we have drama in Los Angeles where UCLA hosts LSU, and the Vegas guys like UCLA. I know it sounds crazy. I know.
There's a lot of circumstances surrounding LSU right now, though.
And they were bad last year, and Ed Orgeron's lost favor, and they've got a couple of unbelievable players. But
it's been a rough week for them,
Hurricane,
too.
They're traveling out west. So this is just this is what we should have. Because the NFL's not letting any of the players in the facilities for 3 days. That's the new rule with the 17-game schedule. This weekend's no practicing in the NFL. You can't. So it's just all college football, and the sport didn't screw it up. I got Notre Dame playing Sunday. I got Big Saturday. I got rival games. I got Big Ten games. I got SEC stuff. Georgia-Clemson, week one?
That's amazing.
That's amazing. So this is going to be usually we get one or two of these, and then it's just a bunch of roast beef tech against Panera Bread nonsense. We got nothing but good stuff this weekend.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Limited time, 15% off select mattresses. 10% off pillows. Casper.com. More details. Did I step in front of your reed? Do you have one?
No, I do not.
The queen did not have a reed today.
I will eventually.
That's a cool outfit, by the way.
Thanks.
Very happy. Very nice. So there are these couples that can argue, and they're feisty, and they fight, and they last for 50 years. I can't do it. It's just not my thing. To each their own. But I think noise equals trouble in relationships. But that's me. But it can work. But generally, if you see couples at each other's throats, lack of respect, you know, it doesn't work. Like, there's an old, wasn't that old, about 10 years ago, they did a study at the University of Washington on couples, and it had 99% accuracy which couples got divorced. And it was, there was only one thread. It wasn't money. It wasn't kids. It was respect. If couples started rolling their eyes at the other one, publicly showing dismay or cutting them off, that was the sign you get divorced. So noise is trouble, generally, but some work. The Seahawks keep winning and are the noisiest franchise. So now, Dwayne Brown's a great left tackle. Russell Wilson is tired of bad O-lines. Sign him. And Dwayne's big and athletic, and he didn't talk a lot, right? He's all-team guy. He played at Houston. He was great. Seahawks went and got him in Seattle. He's been great. And he didn't want practice because I want a new contract. Jamal Adams, I want a new contract. Quadre Diggs, was the other day, the safety. Ah, new contract. Everything's public. Everything's loud. You never see that in Baltimore. You don't see it in New England. You don't see it in Kansas City. They work on their stuff at home. In Seattle, it's always public. It's always confrontational. So Pete Carroll talked about Dwayne Brown. He said he's counting on him to play in the opener.
I'm counting on him. I'm counting on him being ready. He's been on everything. He's been working out. He's been in all of the walkthrough stuff. He's taken all those reps. He's done all the meetings, everything, active part in all of that.
All right. Could you do something that's not public? You know, it was funny. I had TJ Hushmanzada on. I thought it was fascinating Monday. I wanted to bring this back. We finally found a space for it. I said, you know, it's just weird. Like, usually in the NFL, the really well-run teams, you know, your Baltimore is really well-run. New England, anything Brady's associated with. You know, like, when they were getting all their contracts done this offseason for Tampa, nobody talked about them. They just got them all sealed up. Seattle's the opposite. Everything's public. Even Russell Wilson went public. And I asked TJ Hushmanzada, why is it like that in Seattle?
It's the culture that Pete brings to the team. You can be yourself. You can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do. And so they get comfortable saying what they want to say and doing what they want to do. If you think about it, Russell Wilson started this. It's almost as if an analogy. Your kid is just wild and crazy all the time. Says what he wants to say. And then he gets out in public and he's wild and crazy and he embarrasses you. You're like, boy, you better watch your mouth. And your son is thinking, I do this all the time. So Pete Carroll has to understand the culture that he's bringing to the team. We're grown men, but if I feel like I'm underpaid on certain teams, you go through your agents, you might not say much. They're going to say it because Pete Carroll gives them that liberty. It's his fault.
It's just interesting. I thought that was the best take of the week on this show. I thought that explains it. That absolutely explains it. My kids aren't smart Alex at home. I'll tell you that right there. My kids aren't, no, they're no. My kids don't take their contract squabbles public. That's all I'll say. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
What did your mother used to do when you talked back?
I shouldn't say I didn't talk back because it didn't go well. I would say my dad did not have a temper. At all. He was really a loving guy. My mom had a little bit of a short...
So your mom was the disciplinarian?
Yes. She had a very short fuse with me. Not with my sister, but with me. I think I'll be honest with you. I think I was a lot.
I was a bad kid.
You weren't a bad kid.
No, I was a bad kid.
What do you mean a bad kid? You were dealing meth or something? What do you mean?
Oh, no. I was rambunctious.
Well, that's not bad. That's a kid.
I was like kind of sinister. I would tear the napkins in half and like put them back so nobody could use the napkins, or I'd take like a bite of an apple and like turn it so that like I broke all of my mom's drawers in the kitchen because I would climb on them. Yeah, I wasn't a good kid. I was a great teenager. But
that, yeah.
Yeah. So I made up for it.
It was shocking. I was mouthy. I can remember my mom saying this one time. I remember exactly the couch I was sitting on. It was an orange couch. And I was 16. And she goes, "You're 16 and have all the answers in the world. I can't wait for you to be out of this house." And my mom was very, you know, she babied me, right? Like, right. But I remember being on that couch. She goes, "Oh, you've got all the answers in the world." I've used that on my kids more than once. "You've got all the answers in the world."
Sometimes a little reverse psychology works.
Yeah.
Other times you just get disciplined. So the Dodgers have been moved into first place in the NL West.
Oh, let's hear it for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
All we do is win out here on the West Coast. They won their third straight game last night with a 4-3 win over the Braves, while the Giants extended their losing streak to 4. The Dodgers are now a half a game ahead of the Giants in the standings. And they will meet in San Francisco for a 3-game series tomorrow night. And that will be the last time they face each other in the regular season this year. So this big series coming up.
It's going to be the biggest baseball series on the West Coast this year, this weekend. And by the way, it's not only that the Braves are a little beat up now, and they were hot. So that was quite a series for the Dodgers.
They struggle in L.A. too.
But what did I tell you 2 weeks ago? Milwaukee is the best bet on the board for a World Series. I got them at 9-1. What Milwaukee did to San Francisco, I'm going to put the Brewers and the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. Keep your eye on Milwaukee. Two reasons. Number one, these things go in trends. Remember Tampa, all the teams won.
Yeah, that's true.
Year before, L.A., all the teams
in the
won.
Water.
The Bucks just won. There's something about a city gets hot for a year or two. The second thing is starting pitching great, great closer. You get to baseball's postseason, you're not getting 13-9 games. So great pitching beats great hitting. Keep your eye on the Brewers. I like the Dodgers, Brewers, but this is good because this Dodger team is amazing. They have fallen apart all year. Mookie Betts was hurt. Corey Seager.
And he's back.
Clayton Kershaw. And then they went out at the deadline and I thought kind of sealed the World Series getting Max Scherzer, who's money.
So the Texans and Deshaun Watson look to be heading towards a split eventually. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle is reporting that it might take some time for a trade to get done, but it will happen. He tweeted, "Watson will never take another snap with the Texans. He wants out. They want to accommodate him and will when somebody makes Caserio the offer he wants. I imagine the best chance to get what he wants is close to the 2022 draft."
So that means this season's over.
Yeah, Houston is it's a wrap for the Texans this year, yeah.
Well, I mean, a wrap for them, but what he's basically saying is, and I think he's right, the FBI is involved in this.
Right. So there are 22 civil lawsuits, 10 criminal complaints, and a vague FBI investigation. So his availability is quite uncertain for this season and beyond. So reportedly, Houston wants 3 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks in exchange for Watson.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have never had a problem. I have a harder problem giving up 2s than I do number 1 picks because you're paying a ton for somebody you don't know if they can play.
Right.
Whereas the percentage of second round players that make it to first round players is very similar with half the cost. So I would give up a 1 to get Jalen Ramsey. I got no problem with that. I really don't to give up, you know, a great defensive lineman. I give up a 1 every day of the week. But man, 3 1s and 2 or 3 2s.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous for most players in the NFL. Okay. But for a player that you don't even know who's going to be available,
I can't do it. I just can't do this.
And even, like, best case scenario in this situation, best case scenario, this is all over and it's questionable decision making, right?
Right.
Worst case scenario is the other end.
Yeah, he's got jail time or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So in which of those spectrums is 3 first-rounders and 2 first-rounders reasonable?
Well, and the other thing, Joy, is that I really like the cultures that are being built in Miami and Washington, two teams we talk about Deshaun Watson. I really like Ron Rivera and what they're doing with their young talent, and I really like what Miami's doing. Character guys, hard workers. Boy, Deshaun's, even if he's cleared, it won't sit well with everybody.
There's never going to be an even reaction to this move,
no.
Regardless.
And then,
so and look, I'm not saying anything either way. I'm just speaking what the reality of the situation will be. The opinion doesn't matter yet because we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So when you're talking about this, you have to just talk about value and known commodities. He is not a known commodity. If he's available to play, and this is all over, you're still going to deal with the PR aspect of it, but you're probably going to be willing to deal with that if he's 100% cleared to play in certain places. But to your point, Miami or Washington might not be willing to deal with that.
We always bring up Denver. They feel like they've been desperate since Peyton left. I mean, Denver's in 30 years after Elway, outside of a couple Peyton years, always feels like they're scrambling to find a quarterback. And so they're, and now you got Mahomes and Herbert and Derek Carr. They feel like a team that would, if he was mostly clear, that would say, okay, we can get a star quarterback. Let's, you know. But I do feel like if I've got, even if I'm not a great team, like I like the culture being created with the Giants in Miami and Washington, I'm just going to have a problem with it. I think there's this is it's so toxic.
I just think the only way that 3 firsts and 2 seconds make sense would be prior to this situation, and you know you're getting 100% healthy Deshaun Watson. Like, that asking price is absurd for any team at this point. So I don't know how this is going to play out. Maybe a team will want to take that risk, but it's an ongoing situation. I mean, if you're a GM and you trade that amount for Deshaun Watson and he gets to your team and he can't play, how do you keep your job?
Yeah, I just don't think there's a I could never do it. I've said before, I'll always struggle in my life. This is my personality. Hiring somebody that keeps me awake at night. I've talked to college football coaches about that. I'm like, take a 3-star guy. If a 4-star or 5-star guy, he's going to keep you awake at night and you're married with kids, why are you doing that? It's just, I don't deal with anxiety.
Well, it's a talents and competition business. So you're not going to win without talent, which is why they're asking that in the first place. But you got to know the talent is available. And you just don't. So the Jets are hoping they finally found their franchise quarterback with Zach Wilson. And he played well in the preseason. And he is a big fan, huge fan in Tony Romo, who gave him some very high praise.
I think Zach Wilson is going to be in discussion as one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks very quickly. You know, within the next couple of years, I think you're going to see him rise. I think he's unbelievable. His ceiling is so high. It's rare for me to say someone has the ability to get in the stratosphere of a Mahomes, but I think this kid actually has that ability.
Okay, so let's just think about this. Top 3 to 5. Okay, I'm gonna do this. Now, Jet fans think I don't like you. I don't care. So let's list the best quarterbacks currently in the league.
Mahomes.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson,
Brady,
and Brady will be leaving. So right. 3 to 5 years. Let's not count Brady because he'll be out of the league.
Okay.
Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Okay, who am I missing? Mahomes, Rodgers, Russell, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. So that's 6, and those are just top of a head 6. So he's going to be right in the middle of that within a couple of years. What's going to happen to those players? Herbert now has an offensive line. Josh Allen's only getting better. Mahomes, just rebuilt his offensive line. I mean,
it's not that I don't believe that Zach Wilson has the potential
to
be a good player.
No question.
But it's a team sport. And as we know, where you land matters. Like, well, you didn't even mention Trevor Lawrence because we don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be. And Trevor Lawrence is better than Zach Wilson.
Not close. Bigger, strong. Justin Herbert is a bigger, stronger, and a 4-2 biology major.
Okay, so let's just do these
smarter.
Two. Let's just do those two, right? Because the Jets are a disaster, and Jacksonville's a disaster, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Jets have a few more pieces, but Jacksonville has some talent on the defensive side, whatever. Let's just call them even, right?
Okay.
Two bad teams rebuilding. So if you had to choose who was going to be in the top 3 quarterbacks in the next, let's call it 3 years.
Trevor Lawrence
or Zach Wilson?
Trevor Lawrence. He has a coach that's won big, at least at one level. He has a head coach. 2, the division's way easier. You don't even know who the Tennessee, I mean, outside of Mike Vrabel, I mean, I won't even say this. The Colts appear to have their act together. So we'll know they'll be good. What's Houston going to be? That could be 2 wins guaranteed.
Right.
There are no easy wins in the Jets division for the next 8 years.
Yeah, so it's not, to me, this isn't an attack on Zach Wilson. It's a team game. So Zach can be great. He can take huge leaps this year. But what is the this is the question with Joe Burrow. We know that Joe Burrow has the potential to be great, but are the Bengals going to be able to put enough around him in that division to ever elevate him to the potential that he has? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the Bengals roster. It's the fourth best roster in the league. It's almost like saying, I don't hate Auburn football if I say they're the second best program in their state, because Alabama's one. I don't hate Auburn football if I say they're not as good as Georgia, LSU, or Alabama. Those are three of the top five programs. So my point being is, when we're saying Zach Wilson's not going to be a top quarterback, who's leaving the list?
Who's leaving the list? And when you compare someone to Patrick Mahomes, I think you have to consider the situation that Patrick Mahomes went into. And that doesn't take anything away from how absolutely incredible Patrick Mahomes is. But he didn't go to a dysfunctional situation.
Almost every one of the great young quarterbacks we like also has a great coach. McDermott. I mean, the only one that we don't know, because Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Sean McDermott, Andy Reid.
We don't know about Justin Herbert.
Boom. That's the one we don't know. And by the way, we think, like Robert Saleh, we think he can coach. So yeah. We don't know. But it's not a coincidence that all the young quarterbacks we love, almost all of them, have a proven great coach. We have no idea if Robert Saleh can coach. We have no idea. I can tell you this. He's the fourth best head coach today.
Right. But I know. But we knew Andy Reid could coach.
Yeah.
So I think like the situation matters. And that's what gives me pause to make these grand declarations about what these young guys are going to be in the next 3 years. Now, 3 years is nothing when you look at the scope of what and how long quarterbacks are playing now. That doesn't mean anything about what their career is really going to be. But that timeline is a little bit
goofy.
Aggressive.
Yes. That's his perfect word. It's a little aggressive, Tony. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, the reigning Big Ten champs kick off their season in prime time as number 4 Ohio State takes on Minnesota at 7:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Tired of waiting around for hot water? Don't. Save hundreds on a Navien tankless water heater. 15-year warranty. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. It's called Navien. Can't wait for that tonight. Just all weekend great games. So, whenever I talk once or twice a year, Joy and I will go to a high school or a college, and you speak to young people and young broadcasters. And, I'm viewed as controversial and polarizing, which is nonsense. I always tell them, if you want to be controversial, just say the truth. It's why Bill Maher drives far left liberals, not most liberals, but the far left wackadoo on Twitter crowd nuts, is because he's right most of the time. And when you're right and people consume you, nobody hates what they don't consume. All my hate mail is fan mail. It's all the same. I get paid the same for it. It's all the same. Clicks are not my most popular downloads are not my zaniest contrarian takes. It's when I have my strongest opinions that are right, but nobody quite wants me to be as harsh as I am. Like the Jets fans are freaking out because I'm like, Zach Wilson has zero chance to be a top three quarterback in this league in 2 years. He's not going to win enough games, period. He's not as talented as Matt Stafford, and we never talk about Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford, you don't win enough games. And so what I'm about to say will drive people crazy, but the Cleveland Browns are going to start the season 0-1. Yep, and I like them. Why am I saying that? Because Andy Reid is the greatest September football coach in league history, and because Patrick Mahomes is really good and always healthy in week one, here are Patrick Mahomes' September numbers so far in the NFL. I'm not making this up. 32 touchdowns and no picks. 10-0. A perfect passer rating. And Cleveland's got a new secondary. And even if they didn't, Cleveland would be an underdog by a touchdown, and that's about what they're an underdog now. It's nothing against Cleveland. But this is the hardest game in the NFL to win. Every year. At Arrowhead in September, Andy Reid and Mahomes. They're 10-0. 32 touchdowns, no pick. Cleveland, very strong likelihood they start the season 0-1. That's it. That's the tweet, as they say. That's it. I had Andy Reid on yesterday, and we talked about this. I said, you're getting to a point with Mahomes. Okay, like, what is, as a coach, like, where's the improvement? Like, what do you tweak at this point?
I mean, right now it's small things, Colin. It's not the big things that he had a couple of years ago that he had to learn. These are small things, whether it's just improving his footwork or pocket reads on and feel on certain routes. I mean, that's where you're at. And so he can't wait to figure out what those things are, what you think they are, and then go ahead and look at the tape himself and then add to that and then go work on it. And he's great that way.
There are very few guarantees in the NFL. Here are the two. Belichick against young quarterbacks. Now, Josh Allen may beat him, but they will play poorly. That don't argue it. Zach Wilson is going to struggle twice against New England. I'll just tell you right now, Tua is going to struggle twice. Josh Allen will struggle at least once because he's moving from young to prime. He's kind of moving out of the young class. And the second one is Andy Reid in September. He sits around all off season. He's texted me these. He sent me these. He did a couple years ago. He's sending me stuff. He goes, wait till you see what we do here. They're not going to believe this play. Remember, he was the one years ago, he found that play in the Rose Bowl, like the 60s, Michigan Rose Bowl, he found a play. That's what Andy does. By the way, he has unraveled Belichick in September. Like, he's humiliated Belichick and Brady. Remember a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, we all said Brady's done? Like, so Cleveland's going to start 0-1. It's not controversial. By the way, so I did it earlier this week. You know, sometimes I don't think of myself as emotional, but sometimes I just get all worked up. And that's why I eat pot roast at home. It brings me down to my Midwest ethos. So I gave New England 2 more wins. And I shouldn't have done that because I always, in late July, I predict the divisions, and then I get two amendments. I've already done one. And then right in the middle of it, I said, I'm going to give New England 2 more wins. And I got home that day. I'm like, now what are you doing? So because in order to give New England 2 more wins, I have to take 2 wins away because you have to get the thing right, you got to have as many wins as losses, right? So I looked over the schedule and I'm like, I don't see anybody I want to take wins away from. So if you go look, let's put the AFC up. So I feel really strongly about my predictions, but because I went crazy with New England and said they're 12-7, I don't see anybody I can take wins away from. I mean, I would take them obviously from a bad team. I think the Jets will get to 5 wins because I do think their defensive line is a handful, and I think they will devour, it may be Carolina in week 1. They're going to devour bad offensive lines. Carolina week 1's a bad O-line. That's not a bad space to bet the Jets. I could take from Cincinnati, but I really like their offensive pieces. I'm only giving them 6 wins. And I'll be honest with you, I want to give Denver another win because with Bridgewater, they're not going to make any mistakes. They've solved their cornerback issue. So I have Denver at 7-10. I'm much more likely to give them a win or two, but I've trapped myself because of my New England nonsense. I guess I could go like 1-16 with Houston. And I think it could happen. Let's go to the NFC. So we move over to the NFC. See, here's the thing. The NFC teams that I would change, I think I'd add a win to Washington and add a win to San Francisco. Now, people think I added a win last time to Atlanta. People think I'm too high on Carolina, but they have really good skill people. I guess my point here is there's teams I want to give wins to. There's not many I want to subtract, and I already gave New England 2. I didn't do it officially. Now it's out there, though. And now I look like I'm a chicken if I don't do it. I don't have guts.
Yeah, well, I mean, who cares? You have another amendment. Okay, so you want to give Washington another win?
I like them. I think when they added Curtis Samuel, now I've got 2 really high-end. I don't worry about their defense. And I think you go to their draft class, it's the best defensive line I think the league's had in 5 years.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick for
I know.
The entire season, and they added another game this year.
I know. I'm on an island here. Dude, I saw a story today that Ryan Fitzpatrick, when Washington signed him, it was the first time in the league 9 years he flew a private jet to his new team, and it really touched him.
Oh.
He said, the first time I got a private jet flight to my new team. Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of the most likable guys.
Of course.
He and Tyrod Taylor.
Just of course, I'm rooting for him. I'm hesitant to go all in on Washington with an entire season.
So I have to find two losses in the NFL. I think I'm just going to go to Houston for all my problems.
It's not a terrible plan.
From this point forward, any indecision, just go to Houston, take more wins from them. I've given them three. Let's take them all away. Tommy John's got Apollo underwear, most advanced yet, 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/herd. Check it out. Go to their site for details.